Hello, all. This is Blonde-Haired Girl. I'm feeling very lighthearted and happy. It's a Saturday morning, kind of early, and I woke up with all kinds of hopes. Hopes and dreams. I am hoping for I do know that we're never done in this life. We are always going to be looking to the next, because I think that's just part of life. You know, whatever it is, the next day, the next meal, you know, I mean, you're in the moment, but you're also, you know, probably in some ways, in a silly way, planning for the future, because as we all know, it doesn't always turn out how we think it will. So like they say, it's best to just not have expectations. So I had gone out of town last weekend. I had initially decided I was going to go visit my children in Arizona. So I had set up my flights and had everything arranged, and I was super excited. And then an opportunity came that I was really excited about. So I changed my plans. Tacked on, you know, another $500-$600 onto my trip, and went and breezed through California on my way to Arizona to visit my children. And I really didn't have expectations of that trip, but it was absolutely magnificent. It was just the best trip. I went to San Diego, and I was able to attend something that I wanted to attend. And then I spent the next day, because I had a bunch of hours, to go to the beach. And I went and I sat at the beach, and then I went and got an acai bowl. Is that what they call it? And I sat in it, and I on a little bar area at a little food hut, and I sat and watched the ocean for a while. And I guess it was just really a time of recharging my batteries. But the point of me mentioning it is that I don't know if I have expectations, but I will tell you that I get great joy in preparing to go to these things. Like, okay, so I'm a girl. It's like, okay, what am I going to wear? This is just part of me. Maybe not all girls are like this. It's like, what am I going to wear? You know, so I, for Valentine's Day, I had bought myself this pair of what I call Taylor Swift red velvet shoes, Mary Jane shoes. Okay, so why I call them Taylor Swift is because I was watching a documentary about her. I don't know which one it was, but she was creating music with a gentleman, like kind of in someone's living room, and they had some scenes from her outside. I don't remember if she was singing or not, but she was wearing the most like marvelous red velvet Mary Janes. And so I was like, oh my God, I really want those. And so I go to Amazon, you know, I can't find anything quite like it. But then Free People, of course, they never let me down, came out with this amazing red velvet Mary Jane flat. And then over, because I was preparing for Valentine's Day for myself, I was planning to take myself on a date. And so then I had gone to this secondhand store and I bought this shirt and I anyway, Valentine's Day was kind of a bust for me, and I feel like something happened and I worked late, and it was just the whole thing was just such a buzzkill, such a joy kill that I just forget it. And I just went home, which was, really sad for me because I had prepared, for months, for Valentine's Day, which sounds so silly, but this is something that I enjoy doing. So anyway, so I was preparing for this thing that I was going to, and I had the shirt and I had the shoes. I was going to wear like my Valentine's Day outfit. And then I wanted a new pair of jeans. And so I went to finding a new pair of jeans, and there's this brand of jeans that I really like called Driftwood, and they have a lot of embroidered flowers and butterflies and all kinds of stuff, but also these patches. And I found this pair of jeans with these patches on it that matched the shoes and the shirt, and I was golden, good to go. And so that was the only expectation that I had, was what I was going to wear, which I was prepared. And I also had I have bought myself this suitcase. I mean, not suitcase, this backpack. And this is rather a story. In the town I'm living in right now, I feel like a lot of times, and I'm not even sure if it's true, but I feel like I am viewed as a homeless person because I wear a backpack a lot. And the reason why I wear a backpack a lot is because I'm carrying things, and I found that if I carry a purse, I get a whole lot of hip pain. And it just helps me to have whatever, right? Because I go to the farmer's market and I buy stuff, and a lot of times I have my computer with me because I'm going to sit and I'm going to write. And so but I was thinking, well, maybe the backpack makes me look homeless. So I bought a different backpack that matched a suitcase that I bought to go to Paris last year. God, seems a lifetime ago that I went to Paris. but I had bought this little suitcase for Paris, and then now I bought a matching backpack to go with that suitcase. So I'm good to go. Like, I've got all my luggage to take whatever trip that I want to go to. But I used my backpack on this little excursion that I went on, and so this is the extent of like preparations. It's like preparing without expectation. And I don't know exactly how we do this perfectly, but I think it's important. Because I think there's some things in my life that have gone beyond my expectation. There really have. There's some things that have gone beyond my expectations of it, like, for example, the birth of my children. My children were the greatest gift I ever received in my life. And they are just so beyond what I would have ever expected my children to be. They are just stellar human beings. And I feel very fortunate to be their mother. So the birth of my children was like definitely, but there's been more so things that didn't meet my expectations in my life, that I was really excited about something, and then whenever it happened, it was it did not meet my expectations to one way or another. Like, for example, I went to see the movie Dune 2. I think I missed a lot. I did see Dune 1, so I was really excited about Dune 2. And I don't remember Dune 1, and maybe I should watch Dune 1 before, you know, so that I will be updated on who all these people are and their connection with one another. But I didn't do that, and I went to see Dune 2, and I was really quite disappointed and had to really force myself to stay in the chair. I didn't want to bother the people beside me in getting up and walking out, and but the movie was so incredibly violent. It kind of reminds me of the Avatar movies that have moments of beauty, but there's so much violence, and the violence is so over the top. Like it's just like planets blowing up, and I don't know, maybe I feel things or experience things way too intently to enjoy such a thing. And I don't play any kind of video games of such at all, ever. And so violence is really hard for me. I suffered through the Matrix movies with so much violence only because I felt like there was enough deep philosophy and meaning in it to suffer the violence. But I felt like there wasn't enough of that in Dune to really make it a meaningful movie for me. I'm kind of a movie person, although in the past few years, I haven't really been that impressed by much. I had gone to see a Mission Impossible, and honestly, the only reason why I actually went to see that movie was because I just had to see the scene where Tom Cruise drove the motorcycle off the cliff, and so it was basically a base jump off of a motorcycle midair, and how they filmed it and everything. And I had seen some little reels on how he did it, how they did it, and all of that, and so I had to see it. I just had to. But I found that movie kind of wanting. That movie kind of left me wanting. I mean, it had so much promise, but like, there were just those boxes on trains. What are they called? Cars on trains. I don't know. Anyway, I can't think of it right now. Going off a ledge. Suspense. Like, I don't know. Maybe I have too much suspense in my own physical life that I want to meander, not a duel. Anyway, I'm talking about all of these trite things, really, truly, very trite, with what is happening in the world right now. I feel like the energy in the world is so heavy right now. And doomsday stuff is just constant in my social media, which I admit I spend too much time on. And I think part of that is a distraction in my life from the fact that I am truly alone. In the sense, I mean, absolutely alone in this this experiment that I did in this move. I find that in some ways my aloneness is because it just dawned on me, you know, I've been really having a whole lot of intrusive thoughts lately. Just really intrusive thoughts, and to the point where I sought out something to help me with this, because I alone have not been able to combat these intrusive thoughts that are happening in my life right now. And so I mean, it's really weird. So I get up and I do my practices and I get in my car and I'm like in this great space. And I get to my workplace and I am, you know, to varying degrees. Like sometimes it's not as bad as other times, but I would say in a 2-week period, I have at least one really bad day. Like really bad. And I'm noticing myself just not responding. I'm trying to respond in a calm way, but the problem is that the zen I'm feeling, the peace I'm feeling when I'm in my aloneness is so calm. That when I'm having this really big rise in this angst, it's just like the dichotomy of that is like really hard on me. Very difficult for me to personally handle. And I'm also aware. And I don't really know how this works. I mean, it's just sort of a theory of mine that it's not even necessarily my thoughts. I'm working in a mental hospital, and the minute I walk into this hospital, it's not just my thoughts, it's the thoughts of all the people around me. The people that I work with and the people that are actually there who are in one of the worst moments of their life, or they wouldn't be there. And so I'm aware that these thoughts may not even be mine, but I'm just not entirely sure. I don't have a handle on how to deal with it. So I was really excited. I'm like, yay, okay, so I have the weekend to do my little practices. And I woke up this morning and I was thinking about Palestine. I personally have been putting a whole lot of energy into actually specifically removing Netanyahu, or however you say his name, from power. I think there are a number of Israelis over there that are for what is happening, but I think there's also a lot that are not. I mean, I try to liken it to something that might happen in the United States, where a group of Americans here decide to do something and we're not necessarily in agreement with it, and we're stuck with our leader's decision. the president. We're stuck with the president's decision. I mean, we don't like that as a generality, but I mean, imagine it was something of this magnitude, where you were seeing what has been happening, and the not allowing humanitarian efforts in. They're not allowing these people to eat, hoping to starve them to death. And so I've been putting my intention in, you know, I don't want the man to die. I'm not talking about him being assassinated or something, but I am, I think, somehow him removed from power, which could end this war promptly. Because he is the ringleader. The other problem with it is that we, the United States and Israel, are alone in this. The rest of the world, Russia, China, Iran, the rest of the world is not going for this. Which is super interesting. Like, I just had this thought, you know, like Russia is okay with killing Ukrainians. They don't want people shining a spotlight on what they're doing when they invade countries. We don't want spotlights on us, do we? When we invaded the United States and took over tribal, killed all the tribal people and took over their land and put them in concentration camps. But anyway, it's been horrific what has been happening over there, and it has really brought me back to this idea, you know, that I really thought that we were moving into a time of consciousness that would. This would not even be a possibility in. And I believe that there are a whole lot of people here that would be true. I believe that. There are a lot of people on this planet that are acting out of a place of love and concern and kindness. I would never think to do this to another human being. But it seems that are some people in power have not risen to that level. And I believe that to be true in the United States as well. I've been vocal in the past about I truly wish that the Democratic Party, which I believe is corrupt, maybe in my opinion is not as corrupt as the Republican Party right now, but I believe both parties, and I'm not saying everyone in office is corrupt, but a lot of people in office are corrupt and are making a lot of money. Good. Like, to my understanding, both parties are bought by an Israeli lobbying group. This is the understanding that I got. I'm not saying it's true. But I wish that we could find somebody more compelling than Joe Biden at this point. I am hugely disappointed in his backing of this genocide of the Palestinian people. I don't understand it, and I didn't understand what was happening over there to begin with. And I will say that I this isn't really my area. I'm very reactive rather than proactive, but I mean, like, what could I have done before? Like, what could I actually do in any of this? Minus my intentionality. And I mean, do we believe that our intention can make a difference, or do we not? Can a group of people who are meditating on the idea of world peace make any difference in the world? And so this has become a bit of a focus for me. Like, it's really hard for me to prove. Like, how do I prove that my intentionality to ease suffering for people over there, how can I prove that my intentionality would make any difference in the world? But I will keep doing it. I will keep doing it. I will keep holding that intention. And I have heard some things. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know what's true anymore in the world at all from what we're hearing. But I have been hearing that there are Israeli people who are holding rallies in Israel to have him be removed from office, because it was my understanding that he was wildly unpopular there before this and was trying to get rid of his Supreme Court because he was doing illegal things anyway before this. I don't know what they were. But I'm sure that if he was unpopular before, he is really unpopular now among the same people and the young. I'm going to make some assumptions that the young people who are, I noticed this about my own children that I was speaking of earlier, is like they don't understand any of a lot of this because it's so not in their, they don't think this way. They don't think about things the way that I do, because they're different and they see the world differently. And I think it's good that they weren't indoctrinated the way that I was. I'm pretty vocal with them about that. So perhaps the young people over there in Israel would not be for basically the murder of and the starvation, forced starvation of the people of Gaza. Anyway, this is a really strange podcast, isn't it? I go from like this, the triteness of my little life that it is summed up in what I'm going to wear when people are starving to death. And as hard as this may sound, much of what I could actually do isn't going to make a dang bit of difference. Me suffering or me I'm thinking of that young man who lit himself on fire in protest and the rippling effects of that. I am being his mother. Like I think about if I were his mother, the conflict that I would be feeling within myself, that the pride that he took a stand, but my profound loss. And does it make a difference? Does one act of resistance make a difference? We want our lives to mean something, at least to someone. And I suppose that the people of Gaza, the Palestinians that are suffering right now, mean a whole lot to me. Don't know them personally, but anyone, I don't want anyone to suffer. And so my only attempt to not turn a blind eye to the suffering that is profound, awful suffering that is going on over there is to do what I do, and that is to meditate on the end of this. And the only way that I feel like the fastest way for it to end would be for him to be removed from power. And so that's what I'm meditating on. Yeah. And then even myself, I ask the question, where is God in all of this? And what comes to mind, and I'm not sure if it's true or not, but we have the freedom to do awful things. Like, God is not what, I don't believe in the God of the Bible, and it seems pretty obvious that the God that they're speaking about cannot be, because the God that we're speaking, that they're speaking about, would be doing something in this. Surely, right? I mean, maybe even not even the God of Allah isn't who they believe Allah is. Why isn't God saving them? I mean, this is the part that we don't necessarily get to see, are the people who are saved, because there are miracles happening over there every day that we are not hearing about. We're only hearing about the horrible things. And I would hope to someday hear about the miracles, the acts of mercy. But I don't understand how, because I believe that we are rescued, but we are rescued by each other, who are all aspects of God. And so I don't understand it. This is some things I think are just going to remain unknown to me. Maybe until I get to the next side, and maybe even on that side, I won't know. This is beyond my comprehension. But I will keep up my practices and continue to have hope for what I perceived to be, that we would be moving into a time. And I said, you know, the possibility of world peace, but like, what is the point of a possibility if we don't move into it? Any given moment, we could choose peace. Maybe I could do that, that I could send the intention that not Neho, who would actually choose peace. Anyway, So that's it for the day. Gonna go do my Saturday practices. I appreciate you listening, and I will be back with other ideas. And that's a wrap.